Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's a real pleasure having you with us live on CUTV News Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters, 3 p.m. Eastern here at our broadcast center and studios. It is July 30th, 2019. It is a Tuesday, and we hope your day is going along extraordinarily. If it isn't, well, we have somebody here who's going to put you into some really good spirits. Her name is Dr. Victoria Monlock. She's a great guest of ours here exclusively on CUTV News Radio, and somebody that I personally love having an opportunity to chat with because we learn so much from her perspective, her wisdom, her skill set, her passion and desire, and her experiences. And she shares it so eloquently and deeply with all of us here on CUTV News Radio Live as we welcome our audience all across the United States, Canada, and internationally here this afternoon on this episode as we continue our series together on CUTV News Radio Live with Dr. Victoria Monlock. Now, we're going to kick the show off and talk a lot about some really important topics, but just moments ago, and this is sort of like breaking news, hot off the presses, Dr. Monlock had an extraordinary experience with one of her patients, one of her valued patients. And she has so many testimonials, so much feedback, and so many of these kinds of experiences on a regular basis with her patients because the work that she does is, can be very emotional. It's very impactful. It's very moving and touching and oftentimes life-changing. And just moments ago, she had a wonderful patient in her office, and Dr. Monlock is still very touched and visibly moved by the impact of the conversation. Dr. Monlock has so many people that come to her for support, for advice. A lot of times they're at their wit's end. They're confused. They're getting all kinds of physical symptoms. There's emotional stress and symptoms, and they don't know where to turn. And they turn to Dr. Monlock because of her caring, empathetic way, but also her forward-thinking vision, her thinking out of the box style, all backed by science and research and years of dedication and effort. But I'll let her share with us something pretty extraordinary that literally just happened to her moments ago before we went live here on CUTV News Radio. Dr. Monlock, as always, welcome back to our show. It's always a real pleasure having you with us, and we thank you very much for sharing your time with us because I realize how busy you are, and it's a pleasure, and it's really a cool situation that you've had happen, right? Tell us about the,
thank you, Jim, for that wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a wonderful lead-in. Thank you so much. I just had this marvelous, marvelous, almost a physician epiphany, if you want to call it that, but I have them so often, and I'm so gratified to have patients share these epiphanies so that I can have the same epiphany back with them. But here is this patient that I've had for over 10 years, and this patient is in her mid-40s, so she's perimenopausal, abnormal periods for a long time. But what was really remarkable about this patient is that when I first met her, she was still struggling with the after effects of her adolescent years and bulimia and anorexia and all of the not just physical signs and symptoms that come from that, but the psychological damage and anxiety and depression and isolation that a patient like that can go through. And being told by multiple therapists, whether it's in an outpatient or an inpatient situation, that you're damaged goods, that you carry these diagnoses that society basically labels you with and shuns you for. You're depressed. Oh, one person told her she was bipolar, which I never believed, but that's not my forte, but I thought to myself, huh, I'm not so sure about that one. But they kept putting different medications into her system, and she was still struggling with a lot of the psychological overlay that comes from having been labeled and having been a bulimic or an anorexic. And she, at one point, even after multiple outpatient and several inpatient experiences, had gotten down to, now I'm talking a woman in her mid-40s, had gotten down to less than 80 pounds and was actually had been given a feeding tube because they were afraid that there was not going to be an ability for her to get adequate nutrition the usual way, by food and by drinks. So a feeding tube was placed to help her start to reverse this dramatic weight loss that she had undergone. And very, very long story short, she walked into my office today and she looked at me and she looked totally different. And I said, what's going on? And she said, Doc, I decided I am not crazy. I am that perimenopausal woman that you have always told me that I am. And I've taken all of my psychiatric meds and I've stopped them. And she said, and you know what? I feel great. She said, I've continued my hormone. You have always shown me the reason why I need to be on my hormone. And she said, I'm staying on my hormone. She said, but I've stopped my psych meds. I stopped my antidepressant. I have stopped everything that is chemical that I feel was not helping me. And she said, I am a different person. She said, my brain is clear. My body feels energized. And she said, and she pulled, believe it or not, a breakfast bar from her pocket. And she said, and I want to eat this. Can I eat this in front of you? So as she's doing this with me, she looked at me and she said, Doc, your eyes are dancing. I said, yes, they are. I said, they're dancing for you. She said, I know. Isn't this just the coolest? Now, this is a 40-some-year woman who has struggled with this labeling of what she has been told. She's lost jobs because of it, because she wouldn't pass certain drug screens. It's been a lifelong struggle of being labeled something. But what she truly has been is hormonally challenged. That started back in her adolescent years, and I'm so glad that in Blossoming we talk about anorexia and bulimia and the different psychological overlay that can come over a teenager, an adolescent young woman, and how that can impact what her physical female hormones and the rest of her physical health can be. And now that I see her, and I've seen her for at least 10 years, I've watched her go down the road of the traditional chemical psychiatric meds, wondering how much of it she really needed, and now seeing that it's been getting those medications purged out of her system and getting back to the reality of who she really is, that the hormone balance was really for her. I'm not saying it's everyone, but for her, and I've known her for so long, that was really her issue. And it wasn't the chemicals that she needed. It was the bioidentical hormone and balance that she needed. And she is a totally different patient and a different woman in my office today. And she just hugged me.
How does that make you feel, doctor?
Wow.
Pretty deep stuff, isn't it?
Wow, right. How else can you put that into words except wow, you know? And many docs get a wow, you know, at any time in their career. But holy smokes,
exactly.
To be able to witness the power that hormone can do, you know, in a patient's life. And it's been something that's been, from her adolescent years, to now. And so I'm constantly battling the whole idea that Western medicine will demonize the idea of hormones. And a lot of patients will ask me, well, why are we checking hormones? Why do we need to check hormones? Doesn't my body make the hormone that I'm supposed to be able to have in my body? Well, that's true, but what we don't give our bodies any credit for is that it also has to balance our female hormones with our male hormones, and we have to balance it with our stress, with our cortisol, and we have to balance it with our thyroid, and we have to balance it with our insulin. There's all of these hormones that I just named, the four main hormone groups of your female male, your adrenal, your thyroid, and your insulin, that have to balance. And if they don't balance, then the foundation of your health is rocky at best and really off kilter at worst. And so if stress is playing a major role in your life, then the other hormones come to the rescue, but then they get stressed and they can actually start making inappropriate amounts of the hormone that your body needs because they're trying to help the rest of your body out. So your thyroid will stress sometimes into an underactive or a hypothyroid situation when your female male is off, which could then recruit your adrenals to start cranking out more cortisol because your adrenal recognizes you're under stress, which then causes you to stress eat, which raises your insulin. So you see how all of these can tie together without you even realizing it. But that's all the foundation of your health. Now, that's hugely important, and we haven't even mentioned any of the average or typical annual blood work that a usual physician will draw once a year for patients. Notice I didn't say that I checked your liver, or I checked your kidneys, or checked your electrolytes, or did your blood count. Those are all the traditional labs that when you walk in to see your doctor and you say you don't feel good, those are the labs they check. And then they look at you and say, well, gee, everything looks great. And you look back at them and you go, but why do I feel so terrible? Why are my periods irregular? Why am I stressed? Why can't I sleep at night? You know, and it's because nobody's checking those foundational four hormone groups. And what needs to happen is that those hormone groups, A, are important, and B, need to be on your regular list of labs to be checked when you go see your doctor. So let me go back for a second now and revisit what I just started this episode with, was the importance in this mid-40s-year-old woman of hormone with her psyche, with her mental health status, as it tied to her GI tract through bulimia and anorexia, as that impacted her periods and her hormone levels because she was missing her periods and needing to take hormone because she had shocked and shut down her ovaries and she wasn't making enough hormone for her to sustain herself at her age. So something as simple as, gee, you know, we see this diagnosis of anorexia or bulimia just impacted every hormone system that I mentioned. Isn't that amazing? Yet every time she would see her regular doctor, they would tell her that her electrolytes are not bad, your calcium's good, your liver's really holding up well, but yet nobody looked at anything hormone-wise. And that's where she is finding her strength, is in her hormone. That's what gave her body the strength and the ability to say, this is what I need, And I can walk away from the other chemical things because they're not helping me. They're an anchor pulling me down. So
that's right.
When
Absolutely.
Women, therefore, right, go into, and I'll, let me take it one step further. Let's take that woman who may not have ever been anorexic or bulimic, and now she's in her mid-40s, just like my patient, and now she's starting to go through hormone swing because it's that time, and she's experiencing a lot of depression and anxiety, and maybe she's also experiencing a lot of stress, and she's going to have a lot of the same symptoms and perhaps even be labeled depressed that my patient was labeled with, except she was given a lot of medication. But what if somebody is labeled depressed? You need to start this antidepressant medication and it isn't helping. What recourse does that patient have? What other direction can she even look for another opinion, for another way for healthcare to help her because she doesn't feel good, number one. Number two, the antidepressant medication that she was told would help isn't helping. This isn't cutting it, doc. How come it isn't working for me? Then the usual response is, well, we'll up the dose. Or let's try adding another medication to that. And do you see how this has now become an endless do loop of now you're on the medication train and it's hard to get off? How do you go back in, because they're the expert, and tell the expert that I don't think your diagnosis is correct. I don't think I'm depressed. But what else could it be? You have no other frame of reference of what that could be. Well, I'm giving you perhaps what that frame of reference might be, and it might be your hormones are out of balance. So wouldn't it be something, and it'd be very simple, it would be covered by your insurance, to ask your healthcare provider to, while he's doing your depression workup, can he also check your hormone levels? Isn't that just the best timing to put that question out there? Couldn't this just be my hormones out of balance? What a simple but elegant question to ask that may give you a different outlook, a different pathway to follow as you work through if this depression is hormonal or is it actually something that is coming from a true depression and central to your brain that's just now showing up. And I always ask myself, gee, why is it just showing up now? Wouldn't something central in your brain have shown up in your 20s and or in your 30s? Why does it wait till your mid-40s to show up? Huh. What does that go along with besides a drop in your hormone? Huh. Let me think about that for about two more seconds. Huh. I wonder if it's hormone. You know what I'm saying? But that's my world, and that's because I'll look for it, I will check for it, and therefore I will find it. So if you look for it, you might actually find it. But if you never look for it, guess what? You're never going to find it. It's a crazy concept, but I want you to really think about it from the other side looking in. Is it that you're really depressed and that this is the first time somebody's tumbling to it? Or is something at that stage of your life helping bring out this depression tendency? And what might that be that's changing in your decade of your 40s? Wow, that could be female hormone. So I want you to take that step back and give yourself, I'm going to give you permission to ask your doctor, your healthcare provider, to check your hormones. It's a very simple question. And if they look at you like you're from Mars, then I'm going to tell you that I am writing my book series specifically to give you the tools to be able to get the strength to ask those questions and to know which questions to ask. So my first book, Blossoming, was The Adolescent Teenager, but the second book coming out in the next few weeks is Full Bloom, Perimenopause, Menopause and Beyond. And it is all about the 40, 50, 60, 70 and beyond year woman who still will benefit from hormone in your body, whether you're making your own and you need to supplement it, or whether your body has stopped and we need to put it back in to protect your cardiovascular health, to protect your brain, to protect you from Alzheimer's, and to actually keep you forever age 45. What a concept. Isn't that just amazing?
It really, really is.
At the end of the book about how do you talk to your doctor? What do you say? I give you the information that you walk in with that book and you open it to that page and you say, doctor, I want these tests done. This, and it's all spelled out. And if they say, nope, I don't know what to do with those tests, so I'm not going to order them, then I tell you how to contact me. And I'll order them for
you. And that's the key. And that's the key, because you make everything so relatable and, you break it all down in layman's terms. And in those two books that you've written, obviously, your training, certified OBGYN, you practice like an internist, you've made understanding hormones and their connection to women's health your priority. Tell us about that quest. What is it about this that speaks to you such on a practical but also deep level as it does, Doctor?
Well, when Women's Health Initiative stopped, which was the major research study that was done, started in 1995, to answer the three questions of, does female hormone in menopause help these three main diagnoses, which are the top leading morbidities and mortalities in women, which are number one, breast cancer, number two, heart attack, number three, stroke, okay? So do those three top morbidities and mortalities, the things that impact women's health in menopausal years, do these diagnoses get helped or do they decrease with having female hormone on board? It was a great concept, except Women's Health Initiative studied the wrong hormones. They studied horse-based Premarin, which is pregnant mare's urine, and they studied PremPro, which is Premarin with a synthetic progesterone. Nothing bioidentical was even studied in that Women's Health Initiative in WHI. So the study was stopped 3 years prematurely because the researchers, when they wanted to see where the test results were going, realized that these synthetic and horse-based hormones were causing an increase in all three. So the industry demonized hormone just across the board. They demonized hormone and they said, women, get off your hormone. Now, what they should have said was, women, get off your horse-based and synthetic progesterone. But that didn't come out. So all that came out was, women, get off your hormone. So for the past 15, almost 20 years, female hormone replacement has been demonized. And in the world of medicine, the only way that medicine and doctors will treat patients, especially in a university setting or in a research or medical school setting, is that we have to have research that tells us that this medication was in a randomized controlled trial and that we have safety behind this research saying you can take this chemical. Well, notice what I just said, this chemical. Now, if our body made bioidentical hormone for 35 years in our body, that's not chemical, that's bioidentical, right? Our body stops making it at 50. So why is it good for us before age 50 and it's suddenly demonized after age 50? Did you ever ask yourself that very important distinction? Amazing, isn't it? So
absolutely.
Then we take the research that has come out since that says that when women are on hormone, even after age 60, but at least until age 60, and this is a meta-analysis of multiple research papers that says you get the 32% reduction in coronary heart disease and 39% reduction in total mortality, so that even our task force for OBGYNs, which is the American Menopause Society, states that it is perfectly safe for women to remain on hormone even after age 65. But guess what? Nobody's listening, because nobody wants to do the research trials for the testing of generic, and here's where I say specifically, generic medication of estradiol and progesterone. Yes, indeed, they're generic, even though they're bioidentical. No pharmaceutical company or no medical school or college will do the research needed to prove that these bioidentical hormones are safe in women, because they're generic and there is no money to be made by the pharmaceutical industry to do these studies. And so they would rather not, thank you very much. So our university professors and our higher areas of learning, our universities with all of our top leaders, will not endorse something that isn't research proven with randomized controlled trials, because guess what? Nobody will do the trial. So is it that they're really bad for you and we should demonize them? Or is it that nobody's willing to step up to the plate and do a randomized controlled trial to prove that bioidentical hormone really is as safe as it is, whether your body makes it or whether you take it? Because when you take bioidentical hormone, you still get your blood levels checked, just like you get them checked when your ovaries make your own hormone. So I challenge anybody listening to think this through and realize that the same hormone replacement therapy that's bioidentical that is offered is the same hormone that your ovaries make. It's the same. And it shouldn't be something that is demonized simply because the pharmaceutical industry is unwilling to do the randomized controlled trials to prove that these medications, as we replace them in your body, are safe.
Incredible and riveting and inspirational material on this episode, Doctor, as always. And I want to encourage folks to not only connect with you to learn more, because you're always so approachable, but also the two books, which are phenomenal companions. First one, Blossoming, targeted to women from teens to early 30s. And then the second book, of course, Full Bloom, directed at the pre- and postmenopausal years, which we've talked about during this particular episode as well. And places that folks can obtain these books, best places to go, Doctor, would be, would you say Amazon,
well, Amazon,
your website?
Right. Amazon is currently carrying Blossoming, which came out last year. That's the adolescent book. Full Bloom,
right.
Perimenopause, Menopause, and Beyond is coming out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So please stay
That's
tuned
exciting.
Because that'll be a tremendous series with more in that series
yes.
to come.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a mother-daughter guide about myths and truths surrounding adolescent women health. And that is really fantastic. That is Blossoming. And then Full Bloom, perimenopause, menopause, and beyond, geared to women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. So you've really got it covered with blossoming with the adolescent and then full bloom for later on, full circle. I encourage folks to also go to your website, Dr. Victoria J. Mondlock, MDSC.com, to connect with you and learn more. You're always a joy and a blessing to have with us, Doctor. And thank you for being with us on this episode. And we look forward to continuing and the next ones that are coming up. It's exciting.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. And also, before we go, thank you very much for being so open and sharing that initial story about what that conversation was like with that patient. That was very beautiful and very touching, and we appreciate your sharing that with us on the show today, Doctor.
My blessing. Absolutely.
You take care. Keep up the phenomenal work, and we will chat again soon. Again, folks, the two books, Blossoming, that's available now, and that's that Mother-Daughter Guide, which is incredible and very well received. And Full Bloom is coming out soon, too. And we'll keep you posted right here on CUTV News Radio Live for updates on that. Victoria J. Mondlock, MDSC.com, for further updates as well. For the entire team here, Jim Masters, thank you for your time this time. Till next time, hope you enjoyed this thought-provoking and very impactful episode of our broadcast series with Dr. Victoria Mondlock. She's based in Wisconsin, but works with folks all across the country and beyond. And she can chat with you and possibly help you as well. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another great guest right here on CUTV News Radio Live. Bye for now.